Success Match Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Good Tuesday. Thanks for being with us. Really interesting day in our state. Really interesting day in sports. If you've not heard, the Arizona Cardinals will introduce Jen Welter this afternoon at a press conference. Some of you guys just need to relax. And the jokes about women being in the kitchen and how she's going to be really interesting to deal with at a certain time of the month and all that stuff is about as amateur hour-ish as I've seen, and not funny, on a sports topic in a long, long time. Some of you just are not willing to bend, and that's fine. Usually you are over 40-ish, what I'm getting today. Because I'll ask some of you guys, well, how old are you? Why are you not accepting of a woman? And by the way, this story, I saw Michael Bidwell down the parking lot here earlier today and congratulated him. I think this is very cool what's going to be announced by the Cardinals. But I wouldn't take it way over the top. This is not Becky Hammon and the San Antonio Spurs. I will explain why on that as the show progresses today. Clark Judge will join us, Talk of Fame host, longtime NFL insider, of course, Hall of Fame voter. Clark has seen the National Football League for 30-plus years. You can go to Talk of Fame and check out their content. We will talk with him. Michael Fabiano will be with us, our weekly fantasy football guys. If you don't have your NFL fantasy football preparation started already, I mean, you're already behind the eight ball. We're seeing it every week where guys are getting all over the fantasy football front, and we've got the NFL expert from the NFL Network, senior fantasy analyst Michael Fabiano. With Adrian Peterson predicting 2,500 yards. Wow. Is he still the number one overall pick? And we've got lots of questions that are being sent in. There's about 40 minutes if you want to shoot me your questions over on Twitter, at Brad Cesmat, C-E-S-M-A-T, or you can email them to me, brad@sports360az.com. So we'll have Michael Fabiano with us. And then as we do every Tuesday, Michael Delarusso, AZ United SC. We talk United, walk United, the soccer scene in Arizona. That will come up at 11:05. So a lot going on, but let's get right to it and get you caught up. What is on my mind in the world of sports? Brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. So this morning, my 10-year-old is starting safety patrol at school, fifth grader. Yeah, we've all been there, right? We take our kids to safety patrol. And so my wife says, you know, I want to get over to school early. She has to go off to her job, and then she has some errands to run around in. So they load up the Explorer, the certified pre-owned Explorer that we purchased at Santan Ford. And I feel very confident when they get in the vehicle and they drive away for the day that they're going to have a good experience. They're going to be safe. She's going to get from point A to point B to point D and E and F as the day goes along. So I'm worried and concerned about what my wife drives. Now, how about you guys? Is your wife, is your significant other in a vehicle that makes the most sense for you guys in your space in life? You may be the single dude in your 20s, and that's about to change. Congratulations. Now it's time to get real about the vehicle that you're driving in. You may be in your 50s, and you're looking around saying, you know, I don't need as much space as I once did. Maybe it's time to get into something different. At Santan Ford, General Manager Tim Hovick and Company, they do it upright. Plenty of vehicles there for you that you can shop online and check out. It's all in a digital age now. You want to shop? Go online and do it, and then go down to the dealership. Santan Ford, just off the Santan 202 in Val Vista. Go to santanford.com. That is Santan Ford. Jen Welter. The beauty of sports is when Eric and I left this show yesterday, if I would have said to Eric, Jen Welter will be the lead topic on tomorrow's show, Eric would have said, well, what would you have said? I don't want to put words in your mouth.
Honestly, who's Jen Welter?
Who's Jen Welter and why are you going to talk about her? Now, Eric and I at times will have spirited debates and battles. We will thumb wrestle over topics to do on this show. We do not do low-hanging fruit. I mean, I could lead with Tom Brady and why the suspension hasn't come down as of yet. I will get to that. But this topic to me is much more interesting, far-reaching implications. Good friend last night sends me a text, leave it to the Bidwells to do something as silly as this. And we agreed to disagree. He went on to say, you know, players in the locker room are not going to like this. This is the worst thing that can happen to the team. I don't know. Patrick Peterson came right out and was very straightforward on Twitter yesterday, how excited he was on this move. Bruce Arians spoke last night with Peter King. Peter, a regular with us. But today, Peter is really hustling and doing his thing. So we have a quote from Peter King from his Monday morning quarterback, because he did speak with Bruce Arians last night. And the quote reads, "I think it's time," Arians said from Arizona, as the news tore up social media Monday night. "I'm not afraid to step out and be different. Jen is a quality coach. She has earned this. I think she can help our players get better." It was from Peter King's Monday morning quarterback after he spoke with Bruce Arians last night. Arians will talk later today. There's quite a few layers to this story in my book. She's the first female to play a non-kicking position in a men's professional football league. She's actually played football. If you did not know that, if you're just coming up to speed on this story, if you've been really busy and running around, this past February, she became the first female to coach in a men's pro football league when hired by the Revolution to coach linebackers and special teams. In that role, she worked under Revolution general manager in 2015 Pro Football Hall of Fame inductee Tim Brown. So she worked with Tim Brown, all right? Tim Brown, pretty talented. She was a rugby player at Boston College. She has more than 14 years of professional football experience as a linebacker, mostly with the Dallas Diamonds of the Women's Football Alliance. Now, insert your joke here. For those of you that aren't willing to give her a chance or are not willing to be open-minded, look, we all have our opinions, even if they're the wrong ones. And in my case, I look at this and say, I think this is terrific. I'll get over to the Becky Hammon stuff in a minute because I think that's been somewhat overblown. She helped the Dallas Diamonds win four championships. She also earned two gold medals with Team USA at the International Federation of American Football Women's World Championships. This was in 2010 and 2013. She's 37. She has a master's in sports psychology, and she has a PhD in psychology. So I'm guessing that if Darrell Washington gets reinstated, that she might have a kind of an idea of how to just deal with somebody who's had all sorts of issues. And if you're one of those that just thinks it's all about see football, tackle football, and that's it, then I would say you're way behind the times in watching the National Football League. More and more sports franchises are recognizing that off the field, you know, we hear the word character, and sometimes it's loose. If you can catch a football and you're faster than everybody else, it doesn't matter what a nitwit you are, you'll make it on the football field. In this case with Jen Welter, she's going to be with the team for training camp and preseason. There's no guarantee she's going to be with this team in the regular season. I don't know how she's going to react if she's with this team in the regular season and it's week 16, 17, and 18. All I know is I trust Bruce Arians enough with his football instincts that if it takes a woman to get through to a man, this idea of women should not be allowed in the locker room, I heard the same sort of nonsense when it was back in the day with women in media. And women in media are just fine covering the National Football League. In fact, if you look up on the network screens, you'll see more and more women in all sorts of capacities, because guess what? They're able to do the job better than men. I got this little rant this morning from someone when I put on social media that, well, what makes her qualified? You can look at a piece of paper, and a piece of paper doesn't mean jack to me. It's important to note that she has a degree in sports psychology. It's important that she has a PhD in psychology. Also, it's very important to me that she's been all over the place in football. Her fingerprints, people have put their fingerprints all over her in her life in the way of being involved in football. And so she met with Bruce Arians back in the spring. The timing of this is just fine. I've had some people that have raised a point. It's the week that training camp's opening up. They probably knew this 3 weeks ago. That's just being involved in the news cycle. I don't get all wound up about that. It's fine. It's fine. The Becky Hammon side of this. So Becky Hammon was hired by Greg Popovich. The NBA was the trendsetter here. And the sports leagues all like to say, you know, I'm better than you and all that. I have a bigger house than you and all that nonsense. Greg Popovich is one of the smartest minds in all sports. Suns fans hate him because he always gets over on you. And that's a fact. Always. So he hires Becky Hammon last year, and she wasn't just there in training camp. Jen Welter so far is just going to be here in training camp. No, Becky Hammon was there for every one of the 82 games, and she was there in the postseason. And then she turned around and coached the summer league team and won a title. So there's a big difference in terms of the commitment. This is a commitment for a month, but it's still a commitment. I'm not downplaying the significance, but let's be honest here. She's not going to be here, at least today, as this is being announced and everything that's been released, she's going to be here in training camp, and that's it. Bruce Arians said, coaching is nothing more than teaching. I agree with that. I've had some really bad male teachers. In fact, I talked to one NFL player last night who said, I've had position coaches that had no idea what they were doing and who had less experience than she has. Just because you played doesn't mean anything. One more thing, this is from Bruce Arians. One thing I have learned from players is, how are you going to make me better? If you can make me better, I don't care if you're the Green Hornet, man. I'll listen. This is Bruce Arians to the Cardinals website, AZ Cardinals. I really believe she'll have a great opportunity with this internship through training camp to open some doors. There's the key quote. Opportunity, internship, training camp. This is not we're signing her today, at least it's not. It may change in 3 weeks. And I have no problem with that. I have some Cardinal fans that are saying, well, this is a major distraction. Yeah, I'm sure Carson Palmer is just laying awake like, I can't believe this is happening. The world is coming to an end. I'm Larry Fitzgerald. They did what? I can't focus. Come on, get over yourselves. Major distraction? No. So I'm fine with this. I mean, my initial reaction to this was, it's fine. My phone was blowing up, and there were some guys that were trying to be funny and guys that are set in their ways, and this is how it's always been, and progressive is bad, and I just want my football, and that's fine. Things change, and for the better. I think this is for the better. Clark Judge is going to join us on the other side. We'll talk to Clark about this and some other news and notes around the National Football League. Again, Michael Fabiano, NFL Network Senior Fantasy Analyst. Fantasy football is up and running. It's this time of year. 41 million Americans play it. So you got your questions? It's like a stock tip here. That's what we're doing with Michael. He's with us. And then Michael Delarusso after the 11 o'clock hour. I'm Brad Sussmat.
Like our Facebook fan page for unique Arizona sports content from the high schools to the pros. Facebook.com/sports360AZ.
So later today, Eric's going to head over to the Cardinals, the Jen Welter hire, the press conference. I saw Michael Bidwell earlier down the parking lot here and just congratulated him on that bit of news and said he'll see him out there later today. We will be in Los Angeles Thursday and Friday with Pac-12 Network, football, media days, all sorts of content around Arizona, Arizona State, and the Pac-12. And then Cardinals camp opens up on Saturday. So it's that time of year. Before you know it, the high school platform will get going as well with our staff at sports360az.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Clark Judge joins us now. Good to catch up with Clark Judge, Talk of Fame host. If you've not been to the Talk of Fame Network site, you need to check it out. They're now in year two, I believe. It's like a day or two or a week or so ago, I believe. Right, Clark? Year two?
Yeah. No, it's right. You're right. It's a first anniversary coming up. So I think we're right in the middle of maybe day one or day two of year two. So it's pretty good. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, and the Hall of Fame has been helpful. Is that the best way to put it?
Yeah, I think that's the best way to put it. I mean, we haven't had any trouble, nor have we really have they gone out of their way to help us. But we're doing, I think we're doing them a favor by simply bringing their name and the enshrinees to everybody's attention. But they're doing us a favor, too, by giving us a form. I mean, we're on the board. We're three selectors of 46. So they've been helpful in terms of the two of us who are on the senior committee and the two of us who are on the contributors committee. It's been helpful, but that has nothing to do with the fact that we've got a show going. If we want a guy, they will get him for us or try to get him for us. We haven't asked for their help. So they've been fine.
Yeah. You just pick up the phone and call Brett Favre or Stephen Jones or whoever.
Yeah, no, that's right. That's what we did. And that's what we've done. And we've gotten a great list of guests.
All right. So from your view, Jen Welter being hired by the Cardinals, what did you think when you first heard this bit of news?
Surprised, but also, you know, it's about time, really. I mean, we've got Sarah Thomas as the new official, an official in the NFL. Becky Hammond's coaching in San Antonio. In fact, she's running the Spurs Summer League team. She's an assistant there, and I thought eventually somebody's going to do this. I didn't see any inkling of this. I know what Bruce Arians said when Sarah Thomas was announced as a full-time official, but I didn't see this coming down the road. And I'm glad that it's finally been done, and doesn't surprise me. It's Bruce Arians. He always seems to do sort of the unconventional and the right thing. That's why people love being around this guy. He's also very honest and open. But, it's about time. I mean, what he said was just resonated to me. This isn't about gender. You know, it's about if somebody can teach, get him in there. If she can teach, get her in there. And apparently Tim Brown felt the same way because he runs that team, the indoor football team where she played and where she coached. So she's gotten an opportunity. I realize it's only for 6 weeks as an internship, or maybe it's less than that, but I think it's terrific. It gives her a chance to further her career, as well as other females who might be younger and thinking about the NFL as an option and coaching as an option.
Okay, so what I've gotten so far, this happened yesterday afternoon when it came out. Mm-hmm. I'd say guys around our age, late 40s, 50s, that have covered the NFL, not covered, I shouldn't say, that have watched the NFL, that are fans of the league and older than that, some are not as accepting. A woman should be in the kitchen and all that stuff.
Right.
I don't subscribe to that theory, but there has been some backlash. I don't think it's as much as I expected, but there are some people that are just set in their ways that a woman should not be around a football team.
Yeah, you can't satisfy all the people all the time, Brad. You know that, and that doesn't surprise me either. In this day and age, everyone's got a voice with a cell phone or Twitter or whatever.
Sure.
And so they're going to voice their feelings about it. But honestly, to me, it's the right thing to do. Listen, it breaks down the stereotype. And you were talking about stereotypes, you know, women in the kitchen, women in the house. I mean, that's just a stereotype that needs to be broken. And the NFL decided to do it. And Bruce Arians has given her a chance. To me, listen, I've got a daughter. I think it's great that she can go in any direction she wants. If she wanted to choose football as an option, you know, as a coach or instructor or something, she could do it. I mean, the Becky Hammon thing in the NBA is great. Honestly, I think in terms of breaking down the stereotype, it also breaks it down for the players, too. I mean, often I think, you know, players who make a lot of money, young guys, they look at women often as sex objects. And you say, no, this woman, she's a teacher, right? Yeah. This woman needs to be respected. She's going to tell you what to do. You need to treat her as somebody who's not only an equal, she's your superior here. She's your Coach Knoll here. She's your Coach Arians here. She's somebody who's going to tell you what to do. If you don't like it, you can go somewhere else because she's in charge. And I like that. I like the idea of, listen, let's deal with them as people. You know, let's not deal with them as cheerleaders on the sidelines or people in the stands. She's going to instruct, and apparently she's pretty good. And she also probably knows how to climb into some guy's mind, too, because she's got degrees in psychology. Oh, I mean, she's a doctor in psychology. So I think she's got the qualification. Let's see what happens. I mean, I'd like to see it how it happens. I at least like the idea that she's been given a chance.
Well, it's like if Darryl Washington is cleared, if the Cardinals know that Darryl Washington is coming, the technique side of the football, they're hiring LaVon Kirkland today as well. They've got people at that position to coach, but the psychological side of it, for a guy as talented as Darryl Washington once was, I'm not saying the two are completely related, but I think at that position on this football team, she could provide something maybe that nobody else has, and that's right. The psychological side. I think that's a big part of the game today.
I agree with you. And why not a different set of eyes, a different perspective? She may be giving you something that you can't get from someone else. You know, I know that sort of the stereotype. But, well, I mean, what, she didn't play the game, you know? So what's she going to give us? I don't know. She may give us some insight that we can't get from some people who did play the game. So I think, as I said, it's a welcome move by the Cardinals. It doesn't surprise me that it's Bruce Arians who's doing it. That's why I envy you guys out there who are around Bruce Arians. I think he's a breath of fresh air, and he demonstrates it every time he takes a team that doesn't have superior talent to, you know, 10-6 records or the playoffs.
Yeah, Clark Judge with us for a couple of minutes. Just big view of the Cardinals from your standpoint. They open camp this Saturday, and I see a team that doesn't have a lot of question marks to compete other than is Carson Palmer going to stay upright or not?
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And I think that the questions about Carson Palmer is, could he take them deep into the playoffs? I mean, he's really never done that with any team. Could he do that with this team? What do you get from him coming back? He's certainly going to be an improvement over what you finished the season with.
Yep.
What's he going to give you, and what's that team going to give you? And a lot of people who feel as if somebody is going to make a move in that division, because is Seattle going to win it again? Seattle's got a lot of players, but they lose some each year from that sort, not from the core, but from the peripheral the roster, anyway, guys who are supplemental players. And that hurts. I mean, it hurts in terms of team chemistry. So who's going to be that team? And the team that comes up all the time is Arizona. And talking to everyone around here, they'll be able to say, Arizona, you better watch out, because look what he did last year with second, third, fourth string quarterbacks. Bruce Arians can get this team into the playoffs, and he can get them deep in the playoffs. The question is, can Carson Palmer? I think he'll answer that question this year. But I like what they've got. I like everything about this ball club. The loss of your defensive coordinator is going to be a blow, I think, but it's not as if suddenly they're going to go from a terrific defense to a bad defense.
Sure.
They just saw on the field so often last year. But, yeah, you've got a team that's going to go places. I like the Cardinals. Do I think they're going to get Seattle? I don't, but I think they're going to make the playoffs.
Talk of Fame, if you Google just Talk of Fame, the website will pull up for you. Clark Judge, one of three, the main host of Talk of Fame Network. He joins us for a couple of minutes. Longtime NFL insider with Brad Sussmat. Tom Brady, so now it's the cell phone was destroyed. They haven't ruled yet. Do you see any resolution on this other than it's going to end up in a court of law?
Well, let's back up. The cell phone was destroyed. That was Stephen Smith saying, I hear it was destroyed. Come on. I mean, it makes no sense for him to do that. Is there any evidence of that? No. That's what he's saying. He said a lot of things before that haven't turned out to be true. Does it get a lot of attention? Sure it would. Statement like that's going to. I haven't seen any proof of that, so until and unless that happens, I'm going to back off on that one. But do we see any resolution here? I think we're going to court. That's what it sounds like. I mean, they're trying to work out a settlement, and what Brady wants is no suspension. I understand it because he doesn't want his resume damaged. He's one of the great players of all time, and the way this inquiry has come down, Brad, it just, to me, just sort of defies all reason. I know I've said this to you before, but here we are 6 months later.
Right.
We're talking about PSI and a football. Come on. You know, what it should have been was a fine at the beginning, Brady copping to, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what the ball weighed. I like the feel of it at a certain time. I don't know what it weighed, but if it was underinflated, I'll take the blame. I'll take the fine, whatever it is. It would have been a $20,000 fine, and let's move on. Instead, we're still talking about this.
Yep.
And unfortunately for the NFL, the longer this goes on, the worse their case looks. I mean, holes have been punctured in it from the very beginning. Honestly, as I've said to you before, if you take this into a court of law and someone says, by the way, the referee, Walt Anderson, he doesn't know which gauge he used before the game. He doesn't know which gauge he used at halftime. That's it. Case is gone. I mean, if I'm a judge, I go, okay, next, throw this one out. I mean, there's so many holes in this. There was a game last year where two teams, as Minnesota, played with overinflated balls. What happened? Nothing. Nothing happened to them. When the New Orleans Bounty Gate thing came down, they were warned, we're on to you, we're on to you, don't do it, and the Saints continued to do that. Well, did anyone warn the Patriots? Nobody did. So I just the whole thing just smacks of the NFL probably, in my view, at this point, if it's not going to reduce that suspension, or let's just say it's not going to limit it, I think it would reduce it. I think they'd say, take two games. And Brady said, no, if they go into court against Jeff Kessler, a guy who's got a history of success against them in court, especially Judge Doty's court, I'm betting on Tom Brady.
Give me three storylines as training camps open. It could be any team across or any player across the fruited plain that you're looking at. Like, this really interests Clark Judge. Three storylines.
Yeah, well, one's Washington, RG3. What are you getting here? I mean, is he going to be the player he was 3 years ago, or is he done? I mean, this really is a make-or-break year for him, and probably for his head coach as well. Another would be... well, I guess in Houston, Jadeveon Clowney, what are you going to get from this guy? I mean, we haven't seen what was supposed to be this breakthrough player.
Right.
The odds on number one draft pick. And that last year of college, there were enough question marks I said I wouldn't take him. But now we've got him a year after he was supposed to play for the Texans. What are they getting? I don't know what they're getting. I really don't. And I guess the other question is, San Francisco, in the wake of Jim Harbaugh. I mean, we were talking about the NFC West. What does San Francisco actually have left there? Because there are a lot of people who've flown the coop there, not just Jim Harbaugh. I mean, they've lost a lot of players. So what do you have left? You've got a coach who's saying, we're going to be competitive. I think they will be competitive, but are they going to be that team that will be there if Seattle falters? I don't think they will be. So what happens to them? And I'll throw in another one, Buffalo. I'm here in the Northeast. What happens in Buffalo? Buffalo's loaded on defense. They've got a lot of players. So the Jets, they have the same problem. Both of those teams have the same problem. Who's going to quarterback them? Geno Smith, you're not going to win with him. Who's going to quarterback in Buffalo? I have no idea.
Right.
I mean, you've got Manuel, you've got Castle, you've got Taylor. I have no idea. So you've got two teams that are saying, we're ready to get New England. They've got Tom Brady. Who do you have? And those are two more compelling stories.
I got to tell you, I'm kind of interested in what's going on in New Orleans. I'm just sitting out here in Arizona, and I look around the NFC, and I see a lot of franchises that appear to be on the up. And Peyton is down there, and they just made a controversial cut this week of a player. Drew Brees is coming to the end. Their cap situation looks really nasty. That's been a franchise that's been very stable year in and year out. The Cardinals have them early in the year, too, so I think that's why I'm looking at them. How about New Orleans?
Oh, no, I think that's you're absolutely right. I look at that as a franchise that I thought last year was headed in an opposite direction, and the door was wide open for them to do anything in that division.
Yep.
And, of course, you've got a team that wins it with a sub-500 record. I agree with you. Drew Brees, to me, took a step backwards last year. And I think what they've demonstrated this year is they've told you, we're going to try to protect him with a running game. They kept their running back, Mark Ingram, and they let some people go there, but they tried to bulk up their offensive line. I mean, they let Jimmy Graham go, and yet what they've tried to do is improve their offensive line. They've got to protect the quarterback because he's the foundation of that team. You're right. It's a team that's a descending team. He's a descending player. But I think what they're telling you is we think we have enough here with Drew Brees and an offense that can be productive running as well as throwing to beat the rest of the division, because the rest of the division, they didn't play 500. Well, neither did we, but they didn't play 500. But I agree with you. I think you're absolutely right about the cap situation. It's a mess. It's a team that is on a downward spiral. But I think they've got something at least to get through this year. I like them in that division because I don't like anyone else, Brad. I mean, look at that division. Carolina, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Atlanta, I don't think so. New Orleans has enough players because of that quarterback. That guy is if he can be better than he was last year, not as good as he was the year before, but better than he was last year, yeah, I like New Orleans.
Let you go off that. Appreciate your time and insight as always, Clark. Thanks.
Thanks, Brad.
Talk of Fame Network, Clark Judge, longtime NFL insider and host, good friend of the show. Appreciate his time. On the other side, so, yeah, there's a lot going on here today with Jen Welter, but there's a lot going on the Major League Baseball front. What do you make out of these Cole Hamels and the Diamondbacks calling the Phillies? Big trade last night with Tulowitzki. Going to get into that. Michael Fabiano in about 10 minutes. Shoot me your fantasy football questions. Michael Delarusso coming up after 11 as well. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Eric and I got to head out to Los Angeles after tomorrow's show. We'll be in Burbank. We'll be at Warner Brothers Studios on Thursday and Friday doing the show, Pac-12 Football Media Day, all the coaches and players. Always good to get to L.A. to do our thing. Sports360AZ.com. That's our website. Plenty of content. Really good stuff, storytelling that our staff puts up on Sports360AZ.com every day. A terrific story around Cameron Satterwhite, one of the top basketball players in the state. Hurts his knee. Sister tears her ACL in the span of a month. Very talented family, and I really was just reading that during the break. Good stuff there by Jordan Hamm. You can check it out on our site. So yesterday, I met up with some friends down in Casa Grande that were coming down to Tucson, and I got the text about the Cole Hamels story that was out there that ESPN put out, that the Diamondbacks made contact with the Phillies about Cole Hamels. We have said on this show for the last year and a half, go chase Cole Hamels. And even as late as 2 weeks ago, I said on this very same show, go get Cole Hamels because he's under control. So start getting these texts. And even Eric, you're like, there's no way this is happening. You don't buy into this at all, right? No chance.
I just don't see that situation playing out like that, but just one man's opinion.
No, but don't downplay this on your part. You know, you're into this every day. So follow me on this. He makes, okay, $23 million, $23.5 million. The Diamondbacks are going to control him through 2020 if they were to make a deal to get him. So this year, David Price is going to make 19.7.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to become a free agent. He's going to go on the open market. He's probably going to blow right past that 23.5 of Hamels. Porcello makes 12.5. There's already reports that Rick Porcello is going to get $20 million this year. Ivani Gallardo, who's just a guy with a losing records at $14 million, and there's talk that he's going to get $18 on the open market this year. So if you get ahead on Cole Hamels, who turns 32 next week, okay, and you've got him through 2020, at $23.5 million, which sounds like a huge number today. But if you're the Diamondbacks, you control that contract. I think you're going to look at that deal and say, if you were able to make this happen, and it's a long shot. I grant you it's a long shot. But the guys that are reporting this aren't just guides. This is not just throwing a dart and saying, oh, this sounds kind of fun. I'll get some clicks out of this. My boss will be happy because look at all the clicks I got off this story. And believe me, that stuff is, that nonsense is going on nowadays. Oh, it got clicks. It must be great. No, it's not even true. But in this case, the people that put this out, I believe them.
Can the Diamondbacks sell Hamels on the Diamondbacks not just being a 500 team in the coming years, but being a playoff team, a team
that's
going to compete at the top of the NL West, where it sure looks like the Dodgers and the Giants aren't going anywhere?
Well, the Dodgers and Giants can throw money, okay?
Mm-hmm. And what do those two teams have? They have pitching. And I guess if you have to get there, you need frontline starters. I understand that, but again, you're getting him. You're going to have, by the time he's done, he's going to be what, 36, 37 years old?
36, 37, no different than Randy Johnson.
Oh, okay. Whoa.
Best left-hander that's out there. He's not a Hall of Famer.
No.
He's not a Hall of Famer.
He's on the back half of his career.
He's not on the back end of his career
he
right
is.
Now.
He is.
He's not.
He is
he's
not
32.
He is not the same pitcher he was three,
he
4 years ago.
He doesn't have any talent
ignore
around
what
him.
Happened Saturday. Ignore that.
Come on. What are you talking about, ignore?
Just ignore that. Ignore what happened Saturday.
Look, no offense to the guys I'm going to list off here, but really, you want to just sit there with Chase Anderson every fifth day? I mean, come on. You have to go after and build at the top of your rotation.
Okay, you ready? Here we go. 2011, 14-9. 2012, 17-6. 2013, 8-14.
Don't care.
2014, 9-9.
Don't care.
2015, 6-7.
Doesn't mean anything. The team he has around him isn't any good, okay? And he started slow this year.
And
he's
his
a West Coast guy.
And his ERA has been good the last few years.
He's a West Coast guy.
But again, if I'm him, do I want to go play for the Dodgers or do I want to go play for the Diamondbacks? Because he controls
that. I understand
he can
that.
Control where he wants to play.
But he has a no trade that includes the Diamondbacks.
That's right.
As of right now. But if Tony La Russa is on the phone saying, hey, look, we're going to do this. Eric, the Diamondbacks have not had a recruiter since Jerry Colangelo. They haven't. There's not a better recruiter, in my opinion, than a Hall of Fame guy like Tony La Russa is sitting there trying to grab players for you. Is it a reach? Sure, it's a reach, but you have to go after the ones and twos. My point is, if I trade three or four guys today, the Diamondbacks traded, what was it, Vicente Padilla and Travis Lee as part of a deal to get Curt Schilling?
Steal.
That's what you have to do. You have to go find the guys and work from there. Michael Fabiano's on the other side. We'll talk about the fantasy. Boy, you're so negative. I came in a fine mood today, and you're just sitting there throwing water all over this Cole Hamels thing like it's never going to happen.
Man, we speak in truths. I say it over and over and over again.
Speaking truths, if yesterday I said Jen Welter is going to be the lead of this show today, you would have said you're high, you're drinking something. Talk to Michael Fabiano next, NFL Network Senior Fantasy Analyst. I'm Brad Sussmat.
Giving you fantasy football insight you can't get anywhere else. With NFL Network and NFL.com fantasy expert Michael Fabiano, here's Brad Sussmat.
Time for a weekly chat. Michael Fabiano joins us every week. Fantasy football, big part of what we do here on Sports360AZ.com with the NFL Network, NFL Senior Fantasy Analyst. I told Eric when we're heading out to L.A. for the Pac-12 Football Media Days, let's go to dinner with Michael. And I was promptly told that he's big-timing us. What, do you have a show or something? What is the problem here? I was going to take you to Tommy's. Come on.
Oh, man. Believe me, I would love to be able to go, but we're starting up Inside Training Camp this week on NFL Network, so I'm going to be in the studio for that. And then next week, starting August 3rd, we start the NFL Preseason HQ show, which is a new show, and that's going to be live in the mornings. At least on our side of the United States, it'll be 5 to 7 a.m. East Coast. Yeah, 8 to 10. It's gonna be early. It's gonna be early for me, my friend. We're talking about 3 o'clock in the morning.
Oof.
Call times.
Ooh.
Yeah, but it's gonna be a lot of fun.
Talking fantasy football. See, the people at home are like, oh, he just talks fantasy football. No, he's a stock trader. Okay. and Michael has 32 different stocks that he's got to look at, which includes portfolios of hundreds of different companies disguised as football players. That's what this is.
Very good comparison. Yeah, very good comparison.
That's what it is. So, well, we could bring you by coffee, donuts, whatever, but it's
fine. You guys are the best. Yeah, I wish I could do it.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. All right, so let's get right into this. We're getting a lot of or this or that this week. Mm-hmm. So Tannehill or Newton?
Newton. Newton looked really good to me at the end of last year and started to run the ball a little bit more. Now he has an additional receiver in Devin Funchess, the rookie out of Michigan. I do like Tannehill. I think he's going to be a good draft value. I think Newton brings more to the table from an upside perspective because of what he can do with his legs.
Carr or Romo?
Oh, Romo. And I'm not just saying that because I'm a Cowboys fan.
Oh,
come on.
Of course you are.
I like Derek Carr. I do. And I like the addition of Amari Cooper. But Tony Romo is one of the more underrated quarterbacks in fantasy football. And when you consider the departure of DeMarco Murray to Philadelphia, well, that means Romo and the Cowboys should throw the ball a little bit more. Remember, Scott Linehan, the passing coordinator from last year, is now the offensive coordinator in a whole. Bill Callahan's now with the Washington Redskins. So I think they're going to throw the ball more. Maybe not significantly more, like the New Orleans Saints, for example, in past seasons. But you lose a guy like Murray, and you lose over 440 touches from one running back. I don't think Darren McFadden or Joe Randall will be able to handle that, and the Cowboys won't ask either one to handle that. So Romo throws the ball more. I'm going Romo there.
Okay, I'm getting questions about the Jets and Chris Ivory and the running back position there with Ridley and Stacy.
Could be a mess. Both New York backfields could be a mess. Ivory and Ridley could be splitting early down work, but remember, Ridley's coming off of an ACL, so we don't know when he's going to be back, how effective he's going to be. Then you've got Bilal Powell in the mix, too. To be honest with you, Ivory's probably the only draftable member of that Jets backfield, but they are going to run the football. Keep in mind, Chan Gailey is now the OC there, though, so he's going to want to try to throw it a little bit more with the duo of Brandon Marshall and, of course, Eric Decker, and then they drafted Devin Smith, too, the speedster out of Ohio State. So there's some weapons there. The problem there is they don't really have a quarterback, Brad.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that works out. But I wouldn't draft Ivory as anything more than a four, and honestly, Ridley would be a five, and I don't even know that he'd be drafted in a 10-team league.
Okay, what about Kadett at New England? Getting some questions on him.
Good deep sleeper in a PPR league. I wrote a column, and I'm actually doing one on wide receivers this week, where I take a look at the backfields, look at the coordinator's tendencies, look at where a player has his strengths or his weaknesses. And Kadett is probably, and actually probably is not even the word, definitely the best pass-catching running back in New England. Mm. LeGarrette Blunt doesn't catch the ball.
Right.
Jonas Gray doesn't catch the ball. James White doesn't catch the ball. So when you look at Shane Vereen, who is now in New York, who left the Patriots and led that team in backfield touches last year, there's a lot of touches that are going to be available. And I wouldn't be surprised if Kadett caught 40 passes in this offense. Keep tabs on what happens during the preseason and training camp and see what happens with the depth chart. But he's their best pass-catching option. And remember, the Patriots, they're not afraid to use guys who don't have big names. Danny Woodhead comes to mind. He had a pretty good career when he was with New England.
Well, and the thing with New England, you just touched on it. That's always a wild card team when it comes to running backs. What it looks like in August or July or August is not the case usually by November or December.
That was one of the most frustrating backfields to predict last year as a fantasy analyst, and I'm sure it's going to be the same thing this year. I never put anything past Belichick, but based on the talent and the skill set of the players they have in that backfield right now, I mean, Kadett's the guy who stands out as a PPR option.
Crowell or Duke Johnson in Cleveland? I like Cleveland's offensive line, I have to tell you that.
I do, too. There's a lot to like there. Now, Crowell is probably going to end up opening the season as a starter, but that doesn't mean he'll end the season as a starter. I actually talked to Clinton Portis a couple of months ago, and I'm not name-dropping. I'm just giving you the guy's name who I talked to. Former Miami of Florida running back who was one of the better fantasy backs during his time in the NFL, and he told me he thought Duke Johnson would be the starter by week four. Take that for what you will. Johnson has more upside. Johnson is a guy who is going to help you in PPR leagues. He could line up in the slot. He's going to catch the ball out of the backfield. Crowell looks like he'll be the early down back and the goal line guy, and that's valuable. So right now, I would go Crowell before I drafted Johnson, but I do think Duke has some definite sleeper potential, and he could be a pretty decent draft bargain if he's still on the board late.
Okay, I'm getting questions up in San Francisco. Carlos Hyde looks like the guy, but Reggie Bush is a pass catcher. I'm not big on Reggie Bush from Detroit, but do you see the Reggie Bush possibilities there offensively up in San Francisco?
Oh, yeah. There's going to be a committee there to a point. Now, we're not talking about a committee like you saw in Carolina for so many years when it was D'Angelo Williams and Jonathan Stewart basically splitting the work. Carlos Hyde is going to see the early down work. He's going to see the goal line work. He'll see the short yardage work. But Reggie Bush is going to be utilized as a pass catcher when the Niners have to throw the football. And also keep this in mind. That team at wide receiver has some question marks. So you're looking at Torrey Smith, Anquan Boldin, and then a lot of who's that guy, you know, Bruce Ellington, that kind of thing. So Reggie Bush could see quite a few targets out of the backfield as a receiver, and I wouldn't be shocked if he had 50 catches for the 49ers in 2014. But Carlos Hyde is clearly the guy that you want to own in that backfield. The bigger question for me is, I mean, you lose Mike Iupati to the Cardinals, very good run-blocking offensive lineman, and then Anthony Davis retires. That O-line's got some question marks, Brad, so...
Yep.
Volume should be there for Hyde. I don't know how successful that offensive line is going to make him, though. We'll see what happens.
Michael Fabiano with us, NFL Network senior fantasy analyst, for a couple of more minutes. Before I let you go, Russell Wilson and his contract, any bearing at all in his draft status? Do you keep an eye on the business side of Russell Wilson this season?
Well, you always do. You always have to keep tabs on that kind of thing. The Dez Bryant situation, had the Cowboys not anteed up and given him the extension, I mean, that could have been an issue. If Antonio Brown decided he wanted to hold out, that could be an issue. Same thing with Julio Jones. Luckily, these guys haven't done that. A.J. Green, same kind of thing. But I don't really hear the word holdout when I read reports and talk to the guys about Russell Wilson. I don't think it's an issue. And he's the third best quarterback in fantasy on my rank list right now. And a guy who you'll probably draft somewhere in the fifth or sixth round, at least if you're playing in a league with me, because I always wait on quarterbacks.
Yes, you do, of course.
Yeah.
Anything
always.
Else that caught your eye this week?
Well, to be quite honest with you, I'm getting a little frustrated with the lack of a decision on Tom Brady.
Sure.
And I'm waiting for that because that's going to have fantasy implications. But another thing that I heard today was that we could be seeing a change in the Le'Veon Bell suspension. Right now it's 3 games. There's been reports that maybe it gets minimized down to 2 or 1, and if that happens, I am pushing him past Adrian Peterson and moving him to number one at running back. He would have been the consensus number one had he not been subject to the suspension, so that is something fantasy owners want to keep close tabs on. If Bell's suspension gets dropped down to 2 or 1 game, he is now the number one pick in fantasy. Adrian Peterson is number two, but it's real close.
Yeah, no, I would think so. All right, good
real
stuff.
Close.
Hey, if you change your mind, we're out there, you know. It's fine.
Well, listen, if you can get down to Culver City, I might be able to do it. Studio City is over the hill, and it would be a disaster for me to try to get up there.
You have helicopters. You have limos. You're Michael freaking Fabiano.
Limos? Oh, are you kidding me?
All right.
They give me a clown car. That's it.
We'll see if we can work on that. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah.
All right.
Absolutely. Take care, my friend.
This is Michael Fabiano, NFL Network senior fantasy analyst. That was code for Eric really didn't work that hard on making this dinner happen. Come on. I mean, if we have to drive over to him, can't we do that?
Here's the deal. I told him that we would come to him. I don't know Los Angeles very well. Studio City, Culver City, Pasadena, the Valley.
Studio City to Culver City is like here to Tucson.
I don't know my way around.
Well, I'm here. I grew up out there.
Well,
just ask.
Why am I coordinating this? Why don't you coordinate this?
Because you're on the phone with him. He's your friend.
Do you have a cell phone?
Do you have access
to email?
I kind of like Michael. I kind of like him. It's fine. We should try to make that happen, don't you
think? First one to blame, last one to compliment.
Welcome
to my world.
Don't you think we should try to make that happen?
No, I'm out now. I don't even want to pursue it anymore.
Oh, come on. Really? You're out?
Yep.
Just like that?
Yep. I'll be at Bob's Big Boy. You guys have fun.
You go to that original one, right?
Oh, of course. Yeah. I don't mess around.
It is the original one.
It is. Well, yeah, I think it is.
It's in Burbank?
Toluca Lake, technically, but yes, Burbank.
Toluca Lake.
Oh, whoops.
Where's that?
I don't know my way around the LA area.
Yeah, thanks a lot. All right. Michael Fabiano's on the... Thanks to Michael Fabiano. Michael Della Russo is next. AZ United SC head coach, weekly show. They came up short against Austin. We'll talk to him about that. Gold Cup, future of coach, and much more. Stay with us. Off we go in hour number two. As we do every Tuesday, it's time to talk United, walk United. AZ United SC head coach Michael Della Russo joins us for a couple of minutes every Tuesday. United coming up short against Austin over the weekend by a score of 1-0. They've got two games in 3 days coming up this week. Michael, how are you?
Oh, I'm all right, Brad.
Yeah?
Would have been a little better with getting a better result this weekend, but doing all right. How are you?
I'm good. I understand where you're coming from. I'm sitting up in the booth and watching the game. You, not to make excuses, you did not have Long Tan. You did not have Tyler Ruthven. You started three new faces. But let's get right into the goal and get right into this match, and we'll move that behind us. 4 minutes, 40 seconds into the match, Austin able to put one in the back of the net. What happened on this play?
I think we lost a couple individual battles. We got caught up high, disorganized, and they came right in on us, and we made it too easy for them. And, you know, after losing to a team 4-1 the week before, you thought there would have been a different mentality the first 4 or 5 minutes at home, and that was a big disappointment. We dug ourselves in a hole and couldn't get ourselves out. And at the end of the day, that's, you know, that's how precious the game was and is, and it's a tough one to swallow.
So the injury side of it, let's get through this. Will you have Long Tan this week, do you think?
Yeah, he'll be available.
Okay, and Tyler?
We'll see. You know, he's working through rehab, and John, our trainer, is doing a great job with him, so it'll be a day-to-day with him.
It's that time of year where, on one hand, it's the middle of the season and everybody's beat up, you're trying to work through it. The other side is you're coming up short, you're right on the outside of the playoffs looking in, so every game is always important. But I think this weekend, these 2 and 3 days, I would think is a gut check for you, Michael.
Yeah, it is. It's going to be it'll show us a lot, for sure, individual personalities and where we are as a group. You know, I think, believe it or not, it's still a group I love to coach and I love to be around every day. And, you know, our biggest thing last week was to get better every single day of training, every single, and then put it all together on Saturday. And we got better. And, you know, you try to look for the positives out of it, and, that,
sure.
and that's what it was. But at the end of the day, you know, we still weren't where we should be. And overall, we're not performing on the level that we should be performing all year. And it's finding that niche and finding that, you know, that killer instinct and you know, that mentality to set in with this group. And it's got to come right now or else it's, you know, it's going to be a long time just kind of searching for it.
How about some of the new faces that you used over the weekend that we've not seen much of? And how did they perform?
Yeah, I thought Edouard Zaya was good on the day. It was getting him comfortable to the environment. He's a foreign player, hasn't played a lot of games recently, so it took some time to get him in. I thought he did very well for us. I thought Spencer Johnson had a good game for us. He, you know, he's very good mentality-wise. I think he brings something very positive to the group. You know, and look for him to keep bringing that every single day because he brings it at training where a lot of fans don't see and they don't understand. And, you know, it's now given him the opportunity to bring it during a game. And then Jordan, I thought he was pretty good on the day. He has the same mentality as Spencer. I think he could have been a little bit cleaner with his touches and, you know, in and around the goal. But, you know, at the end of the day, we put guys on the field that were extremely bought in and worked very hard.
How are your veterans handling this season, Michael? I mean, your guys like Scotty Morrison, who's been there from day one, and some of your veteran guys handling this time where it's hit and miss for this team.
Yeah, I think they're guys that we lean on, and you know, it's a learning experience for them too because you know, it's getting them their leadership abilities. They really need to come out and, guys lean on them and look to them. You know, a guy like Scott has been very good for us. Other veterans have been very, very good for us. You know, it's very positive within our group. It's very positive within the locker room, at training. And it's just, getting them a little bit, out of that comfort zone to make sure they know what it is to play together and to fight together and, really put it all out there. I think that's the biggest challenge with this group so far.
Michael Della Russa with us, AZ United SC head coach, joins us every week, sports360az.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. They carry the show every week as well. Gold Cup, all right. Let's switch over to that. Klinsmann's just been getting buried by fans since the weekend. What did you make out of the Gold Cup for the USA?
It's hard. Jamaica did what they wanted to do. I don't know if they played well. That might be a stretch, but it's one of those tough things about our game. U.S. came out. They didn't make the most of their chances, but pretty much controlled the game at the beginning and gave up two goals against the run of play just by not making plays. Obviously, Brad made a pretty glaring mistake that usually doesn't get called, but it's a mistake at the end of the day, and they got beat individually on the goal before that. They fought, I think, right at the beginning of the second half, and if they didn't score within that next 10 minutes, I think they struggled, and they did the rest of the game, and they tried to play direct and out of their style. But I think Klinsmann's the right guy for the job. I do. Everything that he's done for our country, I think, has been very positive. He's brought a different type of professionalism than I think our country has had. And I think he's the right man for the job for sure.
Is there concern, do you think, in the soccer community, though, about the showing by the USA men?
Always. When you lose to a team that you never lose to, that you're not expected to, of course. There's going to be concern. Yeah, for sure. But I don't think it's one of those, it's not time to push a panic button by any means. The man got us out of the group of death in the World Cup. He's won in Holland. He's won in Germany. He's gotten results that nobody's ever gotten for our country before. So, no matter how much forward we go and how much progress we make, there's always going to be a setback every now and then. I think now it's important to see how we come out against Mexico. And obviously he's going to be keened in on that. And I think, we'll have a good showing there and he'll prove a lot of people wrong.
Good stuff there as always. Appreciate the time. Good luck this week with those two matches in a couple of days. Thanks.
I appreciate it, bro. Take care.
You got to take care, Michael. Michael Della Russa with us, AZ United SC. Every week he joins us on Tuesdays for a couple of minutes. Appreciate his time. They had a tough result and shorthanded, and hopefully they get things turned around this week back on the road. We have those matches, by the way. AZ United SC is nice enough. We put those matches up on the weekends on sports360az.com if you're looking for content. You want to watch them play. The soccer community here, very loyal and continues to grow by leaps and bounds, and we appreciate the partnership.